Okay, so I guess welcome back after we've had a long hiatus. Baruch Hashem, we're zeichet to our parsha's B'Shalach. And what I'd like to do is say something that will include all the parshas that we missed. We're going to say one vort that's going to ask a question on each parsha. We're going to say something that will answer all the questions, and that will be our shir today. But before I do that, first I'd like to make today's shir is Refuah Shleima for the great Gadol of Yisrael, Rabbi Chaim Yisrael Ben Chava Cyril Belsky. Cyril Belsky. And I want to, we have a special affinity because this shir is because of Rabbi Belsky. In other words, what happened is, we've told the story many times, but L'schusoi, when I first started with Reshet Shiri Torah, I remember Rabbi Belsky was my advisor, Sol Gesund Zayin, and I told him that I'd just been out of Kollel, and I was being Baruch Hashem very matzliach and making shiurim and making chavrusas for everybody. He said, but what's going to be with my learning, my Torah? So he said, you should make yourself a shir. And he encouraged me to make a shir. He says, you'll have a shir in the Aguda, you'll make yourself a shir, and that'll be, and who would have thunk that 30 years later it will still be here, and it's all in Rabbi Belsky's chus. So mitz Hashem, it's the chus of learning.
Well. I mean, he comes every Thursday.
He
was walking wonderful.
Well, unfortunately, he's not well now. So the chus of our, he has plenty of other chus aside from our shir, but at least our contribution is that the chus of our 30 years of shirim, and the schus of today's shir should be for Refuah Shleima, for Belsky, and he's a great man in Klal Yisrael. Also, I'd like to take a few moments before we begin to talk about a great loss for Klal Yisrael, and that is, yesterday was I attended the Levaya, and was the patir of Rabbi, famous Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald. And Rabbi Greenwald was a very, very unique individual. Everybody knows, has any read articles about his, he was responsible for getting Yosef Mendelevich out of Russia and many, many refuseniks. He worked for the government, he worked for the Rockefeller, and he worked for the Nixon administration as a Jewish liaison, and he's done tremendous things, but that's not what I want to talk about. That's part of the history books. I want to talk about more as a person who I had the privilege and the schus to know, who I even spoke to 2 weeks ago in between Miami and Eretz Yisrael. I was back for one day. Remember, I was there for a few hours in the office. That morning I davened with Rabbi Greenwald, and he was talking about all of the different kids that he's involved with, and he was marrying off a girl that lived in his house for a few years. And I'd just like to say some things, why he was so unique, what made this individual a person that Klal Yisrael was so beloved. I don't think there are many other people in their 80s you call Ronnie by their first name, but Klal Yisrael just called him Ronnie. His mentor, Reb David Cohn, in his hesped said, I didn't know what to do. He says, call him Rafael, nobody called him that. Call him Ronnie, it wasn't Derek Harris. I called him Reb Ronnie. That's what Reb David Cohn said. But I think what made him very unique is something that one of his kids said in the hesped, is that he was able to reach people who were unreachable by others. And he was able to break down barriers that other people were not able to break down. What was unique about him? So there's an expression, remember, they used to say, Reb Chatzkel Besser, Zecher Tzadik L'Racha, that we're not biting their tzitzis. He says, I'm not biting anyone's tzitzis. It's an expression that means that you accept everybody. You're not looking too closely at everybody, whether they have this sin or that aver or this aver. You love them because they're a child of God, and they're a person, and they have a tzelem elokim, and therefore they're somebody to be loved. And Ronnie Greenwald was somebody who was able to love everybody, and when people sensed that love that he had from that ava that he had for them, they immediately became disarmed and were willing to trust themselves into his hands in such a way. I remember in the shul, I davened, he had a minyan in our neighborhood by one of the shuls. He had the shachar's minyan, was Ronnie's minyan. And somebody told me the day of the patira that he went to daven there on a day when he wasn't there in the shul. And there were like 11 people in the shul, just a minyan. And he said, he asked one of the people, where's these usually 30 people here when I come here? 40 people, what happened? He says, that's only when Ronnie's here. When Ronnie's here, they all want to come. There's a big minyan because he used to get up, he would tell a joke for the day, he would tell an insight for the day. And I remember just a couple weeks ago, he made a kiddush. What was the kiddush? The kiddush was to honor four members of the congregation who tried to get a boy who was out of school into a school. And he said they all, and he gets and makes an announcement, he says, all these men took off from work It cost them all money, and they went together to the certain principal to beg him to take this boy into his school. And they didn't succeed. He didn't take the boy into school. But a few days later, a different school took him in. And he feels it was because of their hishtadlus that they did, that they went to try and get this boy into school, that Hashem looked kindly at their efforts and said, okay, he's not taking him, he's not zeichet, he doesn't have the merit to take him in, we'll have another school take him in. So that he made a kiddush in shul to celebrate and to thank these four people. So every year, everybody was almost like his child. He spoke a few times at the Go-To Convention. One of the poignant speeches ever in the Go-To Convention. We described the pain of people who are suffering, who are not able to be part of the regular tzibur because of whatever issues they have, and how much we have to care for them, reach out for them. So he was really a very unique person. And he'll be, sorely missed by everybody who knew him. As one of the Maspidim said, there were a few thousand, probably more than 1,000 people in the room over there, aside from people outside. And he said, like, every single person probably has had some sort of interaction with him. And Schussi Yagan Aleinu, Yehi Zichro Baruch. And as his son Sirli said, he says, one of the things that he taught us is how you never saw him angry, you never saw him upset. He was always phlegmatic. And he said, we should learn from that. And he says, if everybody will take one time that they were planning on getting angry and not get angry because of him, so that'll be that's the schus that he'll have. That'll be the schus for his neshama. So Yehi Zichro Baruch. Okay, so we have a bunch of parshas. As I said, we'd like to say a little bit from each parsha. Forgive me if I'm speaking slowly. I just had some dental work, so it's a little hard to speak, but we'll do our best. This week's Sedra, we have the amazing Kriyas Yamsuf. Amazing Kriyas Yamsuf. And then the Shira that comes with Kriyas Yamsuf. And Moshe Rabbeinu sings, Oz Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael Es Ashira Zayis LaShem VaYomer LeMor. Then Moshe Rabbeinu sang out to Hashem, VaYomer LeMor. And the Chazal make a dogish on the fact it says, Oz Yashir. If there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, how do you know Tzchias Mesim in HaTorah? How do you know that the dead are going to someday come alive? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't say, Oz Shor Moshe, then Moshe sang, but then Oz Yashir Moshe, then Moshe will sing. And that's a very strange lashon. Why does it say Yashir to sing in the future? So the Chazal want to learn that means that he will sing in the time of Tzchias Mesim, he's going to continue singing. So the word Yashir is a future language, is a lashon al Shem HaOsid. And that's why. I had a different question. It says that whenever it says Yashir, there's a Yud. An interesting question. We're saying interesting drush. I hope it'll be in the Skabel. Yashir, the letter Yud always connotes future. Right? When you're making a word, so you'd say Dabir means to speak. Yid Dabir means he will speak. Right? So a Yud connotes future. What does a Vav connote? Vayihi. And it was. So Vav always takes you to before, and Yud always takes you to the future. My question is, why is that? Why does a Yud represent the future? And why does the Vav represent the past? So, right? And a Yud and a Vav have a little bit to do with each other. Because a Vav is really just a big Yud. It's the same letter, just the Yud is little, and the Vav is big. So why does Vav take you to the past? Why does Yud take you to the future?
Because in the numbers it's less. It's 6 and the other one is 10.
Okay.
That doesn't mean...
So maybe it should be take an Aleph. It's a 1. But it's a good start.
I don't know why.
Okay, we'll get there. I'm going to propose it. Let's go back. We're now going to go backward and ask a question and teach Parsha. Take a look. If you have a Chumash, if you want to open a Chumash, many of you handing out a couple of Chumashim. Take a look at Perek Yud Beis. These are famous psukim, so you probably do without it, but better to look inside. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. The beginning it says, and Hashem says to Moshe v'al Aaron, Beretz Mitzrayim Lamor, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, this Chodesh should be for you, Rosh Chodashim, the first of the month, head of the month, Rishon Hu Lochem Chodesh Hashon, the first one of the months of the year. So if you take a look, it's a very, very strange thing to use the word chaydish three times. Why do we have it three different times? We're on page 181, if you take a look. And Hashem says to Maisha, this month, HaChayiv Zelachem, will be the first head of the months, the first for you of the months of the year. Now, I could have written this pasuk and dropped out two chaydishes, made it easier. And we know the Torah values every last word and every last letter. So why does it say the word chaydish three times in this pasuk? What is the Torah trying? What's the message the Torah is giving us? And let's move backward now to Parshas Ve'era. It says, Ve'yadaber Elohim El Moshe Ve'yomer Lov Ani Hashem. Ve'era Lavram El Yitzchak Vel Yaakov Ve'kel Shakai U'shmi Hashem Nadati Lah. Hashem is answering Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu came with a taina. Take a look at the end of Parsha Shmos. So Moshe says to Hashem, Hashem, lama hareyos lama zeh. Why did you notice Moshe Rabbeinu is in despair, right? He's in yush. Why did you do so bad for this nation? Lama zeh shlachtani. Why did you send me? Umi oz basi al paro. And for when I came to paro, l'dabra b'shmecha, to speak in your name, Hey, Lomazeh, you did bad for this nation. He didn't save them. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in his bitterness and his despair, because what happened? Remember what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Yidden, went to Paro, and he said, let him go. So what's Paro's reaction? Well, you got time on your hands. You don't have what to do. I'm going to make it harder on you. You're lazy. You have time. You're not doing anything. Go and find your own straw. Right? You're not giving you straw anymore. So you didn't have to work harder and harder. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes in and he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I thought this was going to be, you told me to go save the Jews. I thought Paro was going to listen to me. So now that Paro not listened to me, he made it worse. So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him and he says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Ata Tira, now you'll see Asher Es LeParo, what I'm going to do to Paro. Because I sent him out with a strong hand. And you'll see I'm going to do it. And then Hashem sort of complains back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem says to Moshe, you know something, Moshe Rabbeinu? Why are you complaining? Why don't you have emunah? Why don't you have faith in me? That sometimes you don't understand everything. I have cheshbonos that you can never understand. Sometimes it's like a child and a parent. The child complains to the parent, I don't understand. And the parent, what does the parent do? The parent says, my tatala, trust me. So what does he say?
Okay. I'm in cheer, hello?
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, good.
It was awful.
You can turn it off.
I turned it off. Yeah.
So Hashem says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ve'eril Avram, I appeared to Avram, El Yitzchak, El Yaakov, Kel Shakir, Shmi Hashem Lo Nadati Lam. He says, you know, I went to the Avos, I went to Avram, to Yitzchak and Yaakov, and I didn't tell them my name. They knew less of me than you know. And they trusted me. And they didn't ask kashas. So why, Moshe Rabbeinu, are you asking kashas? That was Hashem said back to Moshe Rabbeinu when he complained. And Rashi says something which all the Mefarshim don't understand. And it says that it says, Va'era el Avram el Yitzchak Yaakov. Rashi says in two words, what does it mean, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov? Says Rashi, el ha'avos. And he appeared to the avos. And the question that everybody asks is, we know that they're avos. We know that Avram Yitzchak Yaakov are avos. So why does it say, Va'era El Ha'aves? Okay? So that's the question. I'm sure you've all heard this question before. There are many, many answers. Let's go back one more parsha, just to fill in the people who are coming in now. What I said is that we're going to say a vort that's going to, since we missed three parshas, we're going to say one vort that's going to answer questions in all three parshas. So, Mitzvah Shem, I'll go over it again as we go on. The second announcement is I just had dental work, so forgive me if I'm sounding a little bit funny, and I'll do my best. Let's go into Parsha Shmos now. Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going back in time in our time machine here. So Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer an adult; he's now a baby, and he's in that little tevela. And Bas Paro comes out. Lirchot al Yor v'narosel pasuk hey. We're now in Parsha Shmos, Perik Beis pasuk hey. Vateirid bas paro lirchatz al yor. Bas paro goes to bathe on the sea. Vanarosel holchus al yad hayor. Vateiris atev besoich hasuf. Vatishlus amosa. She, the famous miracle, she reaches out with her arm gets longer, she takes the teva, and inside the teva is the baby. Vatifzak, she opens it up, vatireo is a yelet, and she sees the baby. And then the Pasuk says, vine nar bocha, and a young man was crying. A nar is a child, it's not a baby, yelet is a baby, nar is older. Vatachmolov, that he must be from the Yalde Ivrim. He must be a Jewish child. So the question that is asked is very strange. Was he a Yalid or was he a Nar? And Rashi understands this question and he says, what's a Nar? Kol Ava means he has a thicker voice. So, okay, fine, it's a thicker voice, but what does that mean? So, and then it says, Atava Tarmi Yalde Ivrim, he was from the Jewish children. How does she know that he was a Jewish child? At that time, they were throwing Geisha children also. So Mrs. Miller will remember that Rabbi Sher used to ask this question in many of his speeches. And he said, you know, there's a difference between the crying of a yelet and the crying of a nar. A baby cries only for himself. The baby only cries because they're hungry, they're tired, they need to be changed. That's why baby cries. Baby couldn't care about whether the mother and father were up all night. It doesn't bother them. They only think about themselves, right? That's a baby. A nar is somebody who's getting older, already starts feeling for the others. I know my daughter was telling me the triplets, so one of them saw the other two were getting too close to something. She yells out, it's dangerous, and she pulls them back. She starts caring about others. You get a little bit older, you care about others. She says that was the hallmark of being Jewish. Even then, they knew that a yid cares about other people. If you take a look now, who's the socialist running for president? The Yid, Bernie Sanders. Of course, it's a Yid, because yeah. The Jews care about people. It might be that maybe we don't agree with the particular way they're doing it. Okay, that's a different question. But the fact is that Yidden care, and when Bas Paro saw that, and she was living in a brutal culture. I mean, the culture of Mitzrayim was brutal. Human life was nothing, meant nothing. They killed. Look, they were willing to kill all these babies, and she sees somebody crying. That cries for someone else. So she says, this must be Mialde Ivrim. He cries like a nar. He's crying like somebody who cares. That's a Jewish child. That's what he used to say. So in Yitzhak Hashem, we'll say Nochab Shah. So to do that, and now to get back to our answer, and then we're going to go back, and we'll come and answer all our questions. We're going to go all the way back to the Akedah. And we're going to tell the story, that you all know, and then in Mitzvah Hashem we will answer all of the questions that we had going back Parsha by Parsha. Take a look in Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Vav. Okay, here Pasuk K. So here's the story. The Pasuk says, "Vayomer Avram al Nor Shulo Chempoin Mechamor." Here's the story. Story is the story with the Kedusha Tzion Babov. The Kedusha Tzion Babov was a great tzaddik. He perished in the Holocaust. And he was sitting with his chassidim one time. And they were after davening, the minig of chassidim, they sit and they make brachas, you have some cake and you have a little bit of schnapps, gets you going for the day. It's called lekach and bromfen. And he's sitting with his chassidim and he sees that they ran out of cake. So he says, I'm going to send a nar to get the cake. So fine, come back in 15 minutes. So come back in 15 minutes, and in walks the Rebbe, and the Rebbe's holding the bag, you know, from the bakery with the cake. So Hasidim are very upset. Rebbe, it's not possible. Rebbe should go personally to the bakery. That's what we Hasidim are here for. We're to go to the bakery for you. You're not supposed to be going to bakeries. What's the pshat? Why did you go? So he says, let me tell you a pshat in the Akedah. It says, Ve'yomer Avram al Na'orav, says, what does it mean, Ani and the Nar will go until here? What was he talking about? Who is this Nar? Hush Pshat, of course, it was Yitzchak. But he said he meant something deeper. He says, what does a Nar represent? A Nar represents somebody who's young, who's energetic, who's youthful, who wants to change the world, who wants to get things done. Where does the word Nar come from? The word Or. Or means to be awake. Libi Or. A nar is somebody who's very awake, right? Shabbos afternoon, right? The parents say, I want to take a nap. The kids say, what are you, crazy? I'll shop up this whole afternoon. We've got to play. We've got so much to do. We can't take a nap, right? Because he's or, he's awake. I was always thinking the pshat is because he's closer to being born and the adults are closer to the other way. So he's more lebedik, he's more alive, and they're more, you know. So he says to Rabbi Shah, Niva Hanar. You know, I was there in Charan. We made 10,000 Bali Tshuva, and we ran a Kiruv house, me and Sarah, and we were doing so much, and we were accomplishing. He says, because that was the Nar in me. But now that Yitzhak's going to not be there anymore, I'm afraid I'm going to lose that. I'm going to lose my vitality. I'm going to lose my lichluchis. I'm going to lose my energy. Vani v'hanar, I and the Nar nelch ad kai. We're going till here. We're not going any further. So what happened? So Baruch Hashem, Yitzhak was saved, and Yitzhak continued, and therefore Avraham Avinu saw that this wasn't going to happen, and he retained his vitality. And if you look in the very last pasuk in pasuk Yud Tes, it says in the pasuk, said above a Rebbe, Vayoshev Avraham el Na'arav. Avraham came back to his Nar. He came back to his inner Nar. He came back to that vitality that he always had. God, we were talking before about Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald. There was somebody who had Nar till the last day. He was supposed to speak this Motzei Shabbos in a shul in Mal Malka. There was somebody, he had Nar in him till the last day. Said the Bava Rav, I'm an old man, and I don't know, I don't want to lose my sense of vitality. I don't want to be the person who sits in the armchair and sends other people to do it. I want to go. I want to still be the Nar, because I want to accomplish. And that's why it says by Yeshua Nar, Yeshua had that. What Moshe Rabbeinu saw was that vitality, that excitement to learn Torah, to absorb Torah, to teach Torah. That was the Nar that was Yeshua. And that's, what does it say also? Who else do we find was a Nar? Yosef was a Nar. It doesn't just mean he was a Nar but they did foolish things with them, but it means he was a Nar. He channeled that youthful energy to caring for them, to being there for them, to be there for the Bnei Bild and the Bnei Zilpa, who they felt were being denigrated by the other brothers who came from the real mothers, and they weren't. And Yosef, even though he himself could have been one of the Feinschmeckers up on top, he wasn't. Whom Nar, he used that youthful energy to reach out to Bnei Bild and to Bnei Zilpa.
So language is something. Yiddish and Nar is like a.
So Yiddish is a very rich language. Yeah. So Yiddish has taken the word Nar and given a different connotation that is not as nice. But in the real world, the Torah uses the word Nar is a very beautiful and important word. So I would like to say the following. Az Yashir Maishav Neisrael. Why does it say in future tense? We asked why two questions. You said, why does it say Az Yashir in future tense? Why did it say in current tense? Why do we say, says the Gemara, why do we say, Oz Shor Moshe? Moshe saying, I mean, this is a record of what happened. This is not a few going forward. So why do we say Oz Yashir? And the second question we ask is that wherever we find the word, the letter Yud, Yud means the future, and we find Vav means the past. Why is that? So I was thinking, this is Mamsh B'derech Efsher, is that a Vav represents an adult, and Yud represents a child. Because really, Yud and Vav are the same letter. Just the Vav is taller and bigger than the Yud. And we know that the Yud represents, like we've said it many times from Rav Olson, Parshas Pinchas, which has a little Yud, it says a klein Yudula. We have, you know, the famous word, why do we, the Shem Hashem is represented by two Yuds. Because they don't want to write out Shem Hashem, they represent with two Yuds. Why do they represent with two Yuds? So one of the things that they say is that two Yidden together, where there's two Jews that can get together, that's the Shechina is there. Because two Jews get along, the Shechina wants, they likes that. So a Yud represents a Jew, it represents a Yid, a Yud, is a Yehudi. So I was thinking that a little Yud is a small Jew, and a Vav is an adult. A child looks to the future, an adult looks to the past. Because a child has more of a future, an adult has more of a past. So Oz Yashin, but we want to learn to be a Nar. We want to learn to have that vitality. We want to learn that no matter where you are in life, it doesn't matter if you're 10 or 100, you always have to look to the future. You always have to look, what can I still do? What can I accomplish? What can I not, never look to say it's over. Oz Yashin, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us that lesson. When he's saying, he didn't just sing now, he's saying for eternity. And even more so, why is the lesson learned over here? Because teaching us that a person should always sing Oz Yashar Moshe. Moshe seems that a person has that positive attitude, a person always has a good attitude, that's a person who will accomplish in life. Remember Rabbi Feiner, when Eitan Feiner spoke at the Gurdon Convention, one thing Eitzes he gave about Shalom Bayis, he always had music playing in the house. Like music gives a freilich atmosphere, you know, I guess it means freilich music, not sad music. So Oz Yashar, if we can always sing, so Oz Yashar Moshe, Moshe is teaching us that that'll be Tchias HaMeisim. If we want to learn, we said, the Gemara says, how do we know Tchias HaMeisim? It says, Oz Yashar Moshe. Moshe will sing. Not that Moshe sang, but he will sing means he'll sing into the future. So as we've done in the past, Tchias HaMeisim means literally the time of Tchias HaMeisim, which is going to come, it means such a Meir V'Meinu with Mashiach, and there'll be Tchias HaMeisim. But then this is everybody can be Zayich Tchias HaMeisim. Tchias HaMeisim is we live every day Tchias HaMeisim. Every morning, what do we say in our davening? V'chayim Meisim. Ata. Talk about ourselves. We wake up in the morning. That's Tchias HaMeisim. Now, people don't wake up in the morning, right? But we wake up. If we wake up, that right.
Happen in the sleep.
Yeah, we wake up. That's Shika. But we shouldn't. We wake up. That's Tchias HaMeisim. So Oz Yashar Moshe, Moshe is teaching us, we want to be Zoich Tchias HaMeisim. Always look forward. Always look to singing. Always look to being positive. Always look to being Freilich. And then you'll be able to accomplish. You'll be able to learn the lesson of being the Nar who can always look to the future. Now the second question we asked is in Parshas Bayit. That's Parshas Bishal. Now we go back. We're going back with Parshas Bayit. What do we ask the question? It says VeYarmer Hashem Moshe VeLaaron. God's Stein Lamer. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Roish Chadashim Rishon Lochem Chodesh Hashanah. We ask why say three times the word Chodesh renewal three times. Why does they have to say? Because it just said HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Roish. Okay, twice. Chodesh Hashanah. I could probably work harder to figure out one. Okay, but what do you need three different times? So I think also the teaching is the Iker is his Chodesh. The word Chodesh. Why do we Chodesh? Why do we call it Chodesh? Because if you go out today, go out tonight and look at the moon, it's full, right? Come back in 2 weeks and it's just a sliver. It'll be just like a little bit of a sliver, and it's starting to get to be, it'll be new again. Because right now we're in the middle of the month, right? We're coming up to Tu B'Shvat, so we're in the middle of the month. So the Torah is teaching us the importance of Chizchadshus, the importance of being new. Renewal. That's what we're all about. We're all about the future and doing more and more and more. And I think maybe the reason it says, because there's three tekufas in a person's life, they always say it's childhood, adulthood, and oldhood, I guess, and then when you're older. There's three times, there's tekufas. Each one, we have to say, this is chachos. Each one according to the chachos you can have. So the Torah is telling us in Parshish, by this lesson, again, of chiddush, of Oz Yashar, of moving to the future. We said, va'eril Avram, and we asked the question that says, al Avram, al Yitzchak, al Yaakov. And Rashi says, who are those people? That's va'eril avos. And we ask, why is it say al avos? So I think we were talking about this other part of Nar. The second part of Nar that we said is the Nar that cries for others. And Hashem was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, when I spoke to Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, I wasn't speaking to those individuals by the name of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I'm speaking to them in capacity as avos. It's like you go to a person who's a doctor, right? You see him in shul, right? They dress like everybody else. You see them in the hospital, they're wearing the robes. So same thing, they're avos. They're not just Avram Yitzchak. They're avos. As a matter of fact, if you read many of the Mefarshim, you see that after their historical roles are finished, you don't hear from them again. After the death of Sarah, Avram's not mentioned. After the Yitzchak, he's up until a certain point, and then you don't hear from him again. Yaakov, you don't hear from them again. Because they had full lives, I'm sure, did many mitzvahs, many good things. But they're only in the Torah so far as they're avos. So what Hashem was saying, and this is why Rashi takes the extra step, which seems to be extra, of saying, Allah avos, we know they're avos. He was saying, and he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, they were avos. Who cries more for a child? Who cares for a child? Their own parents. That's who cares for a child. And they weren't just three people that had rough times, but there were three people, as I was telling you, do rough things to your children. And they didn't complain. So the complaint against Moshe is even greater. Because not only did the Torah say the complaint to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that I spoke to them and did not give them a fullness and they still trusted me, but even they were not just some people, it was with their children. Because they were obvious, and I'm telling their children are going to go into Gaul. Do you see Avram Avinu complaining? Hashem says, your children will be Gauls 400 years. Did Avram Avinu say a word? No. Because he trusted on Kadosh Baruch Hu. He trusted what Kadosh Baruch Hu does is righteous. And that was the complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu. And finally, we go back to Bas Paro and Perik Beis.
What? That he complained that they would listen to him and so on.
What?
His, complaint.
His complaint was, why did you send me? I thought everything was going to go smoothly and they're going to go out. And now I see Tich Bravoida and Nirpim Matem Nirpim. And it went, you're sending me to go backward. And we're going to talk in the next word if we have time, and we'll explain that. But that was what Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint was. And he's saying that he said similar things to the others. The others did not complain. That was where Moshe Rabbeinu was coming from. And finally, it says that Paro, Bas Paro, knew he was Mialdei Ivrim. We called him first a Yelet, and then we called him a Nar. And we said the Pshat was because a Nar cries, and a Yelet cries for others, and a Yelet cries himself. And I think according to this Pshat, we have another beautiful addition. Somebody who cries alone is not enough unless they do something about it. Just to cry, when you hear, the difference between a tzaddik, I guess, and a regular person, all the stories, the Rebbe. Somebody comes and says, the Rebbe got sorry, doesn't just cry with them. Sometimes you have no choice. But usually you try and help the person. That's the difference. A nar can help a person. He doesn't just cry about the other person, but he can do something about it if he has that aura in him, if he has that vitality and that lebedekeit. So that's what I was thinking. That's a double pshat. Mialdei Ivrim v'hine nar baicha. Not only is the nar crying, but he also has, she saw in him somebody who's going to do something about that crying. And that's why she said that he's a nar baicha. He's a nar who's going to make things happen. He has that kayach of nar that we've spoken about. And that's the difference. So we have all, in each Baruch Hashem, in each parsha that we missed while I was gone, we have a little something to say about each parsha. Let's just end. Something to suffer from Galinsky, which goes into this concept of Oz Yosher. And he says Chazal, why say Oz Yosher? So going back to what we said before, because Moshe Rabbeinu said, I have to do tshuva. Because I said, Mi Oz Bossi El Paro, at the end of Parsha Shmais, says, Mi Oz Bossi El Paro, Hey Rolamazeh, since I came to Paro, you were bad to this nation. And you didn't save them. So I have to do tshuva, I didn't have faith in you. Because remember, we're now by the Shira. Now we had all, everything's good. Everything's beautiful now. The Bitzrim are gone. We're on our way to Eretz Yisrael. It's, happy days. So he says, I have to do tshuva because I doubted you. So he says, Oz, I doubted you, Oz Bossi. So the question is that Oz Yashir is not part of the Shira. Oz Yashir is what the Torah is saying. Oz, then Moshe Rabbeinu, sing. He didn't say the words Oz Yashir. It's not part of what he said. So what does it mean, the Oz Bossi? What is this Oz? And how is he doing tshuva? What is this concept Oz he's doing tshuva? He says a nice word. Says the word Oz, say the Chazal, Merkavis me'alaf ha'mayra al alufa shal oylam, it's a zayr. V'zayin ha'raim is lo'oylam ha'teva. Al Oz, the word Oz means aleph, is the Ribbon Shalom is aleph, and zayin is seven, the word seven, the number seven, which represents teva. And Oz means we show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is over the entire Teva. And sometimes, therefore, we do not always understand what's going on. And he says, when he said Oz Yosher, he says, Lo al Kriyas Yamsuf Bilvad Horda. He wasn't only Moran Kriyas Yamsuf. El Gam al Achbadus al Shibut Shihifur Lamafreya Shalotoyvahayin. That the Shibut got worse because that's how Hashem made it go faster. It says 400 years. So we know, how did they get out in 210? Because it was a hard shibud. So when Hashem said that Paro would be hit with Levi, and he said, I'm not going to give you straw, ultimately that was good for the Jews, because that made it go fast. Because it was so difficult, the shibud, it made it go faster. So Oz Yosher, Loshen Ozit, Mikan Chiyas Mesim and Atayra, Ki Mikan Muchach, Shel Acher Kol Atzoris, and we Taikith Kaishi Ashibud, Novin Taikith Kolom Afreya. That's what means Chias Mason, that we now understand backward all of the good that happened. Sometimes we can't understand. Even somebody dies, we don't understand until Chias Mason, until he comes alive. Why did he die then? Why did it happen? Well, no, by Chias Mason, everything come back refrained. And that's why, by the Seder, what do we say? They have to say three things. What are the three things? Pesach, Matzah, Mor, and Chazal say, and if you didn't say it, Lo Yotzi Yidei Chavasai. And the question, you'd ask, why didn't he say lo yatsa? Why say yidei chavasa? Because the chayv of a person is to understand that when bad things happen and good things happen, Hashem has his cheshbonos. And sometimes bad things have to happen for good things to happen, in order to even out whatever the cheshbonos shemayim are. So sometimes the bad happens, and then the good happens afterwards. The Gemara gives a mashal. He says like this. It says in the pasuk, Oich Hashem ki anafte bi. Hashem, I praise you because you were angry at me. He says, what do you praise Hashem because he's angry? He says, the Gemara gives a mashal. A man was going to make a ship. He had a ticket. It was in, let's say, April of 1912. And he had a ticket, one of the best ships around. He was going on the Titanic. And on his way there, he got into a car accident, broke his leg, he ended up in the hospital. Can you imagine how upset he was until he read the news of the Titanic going down? Then all of a sudden he realized that Hashem's being angry at him was the best thing that ever happened to him. He says, that's what we have to understand. He says, Oz Yosher Moshe, that's Aleph Zion. Hashem is in the Tevah. Sometimes we don't see it, sometimes we don't understand it. And I was thinking that could be some of the things that happened in Klal Yisrael. Who knows what the Cheshbon does? Maybe it'd been worse. When we talk about Tich Bar Avaida, that sometimes it's worse for a short period of time, maybe then it won't be bad for a long period of time. So if Klal Yisrael suffers short term, maybe Hashem is protecting him from suffering long term. We don't know. And that's really that's the lesson. The lesson is Azma Vesnish. And that's Oz Yashir. Maishra Rabbeinu was able to sing and continue to sing and continue to praise Hashem because Hashem's in the Teva. And if we knew it, we'd be able to sing. If we really had a Muna, we would sing today. We wouldn't wait because we'd have such a Muna. But we're not there yet. So when the good things come, then we'll sing to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mishkayev, thank you all for coming. It's good to be back in Mitzvah Hashem, and we will continue next week as Matan Torah. So we have lots to talk about. Thank you.
Thank you. Kol tov.